You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am thrilled and honored to be joined with two servants of the Lord, two people who are making a real difference here in this state. I'm talking about Greg McNeese, who serves as president-elect for the Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children, and Terry Blanton, who is the OBHC's newest staff member serving as foster care coordinator. Terry, Greg, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I want to tell all our listeners about the One Such Child program. What is it? What is it all about? And how can it help our churches?
Well, the One Such Child program is a program for Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children to enlighten, connect, and encourage our churches regarding the foster care issue. As you know, there's approximately 12,000 children in DHS custody today. And it just keeps climbing. And we believe that one child in DHS custody is too many. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to recruit families who will open their home to be foster parents to these 12,000 children. We really desire for these children to be loved and nurtured in a good Christian home.
Thinking about this growing need, thinking about the successful track record of OBHC in meeting the needs of children in this state. Why, Greg, did this need arise, and how are you hoping the Lord will direct this, and how did it all come about?
Well, you know, Brian, really, we're trying to respond to a cultural issue where children are just caught in the crossfire, if you will. Our state doesn't have the financial support from a government standard on taking care of kids. The track record has not been very effective. So really, where we at OBHC feel like we can come in, we can partner, we can connect individuals in Southern Baptist churches, connect them with these children who are really saying, I need a place to live. I need a place that gives me a strength, gives me support, gives me, not that they would say a faith-based place to live, but for you and I, we go, you know what, we can help provide that. And so when I came to this position, it wasn't long after that I had a conversation with Dr. Jordan, and we began to pray about, okay, where is OBHC's role in this? And just really how God led from one thing to another, to another, to another. We are where we are today with the development of this program to say we want to go around the state and help people, whether they're in a metropolitan place or whether they're in a rural setting, if they feel like God's calling them to be a foster family, we want to help connect them to do that. So there's been a process. We see ourselves as a referring agency. So in other words, if a family, husband and wife contact us, they contact Terry's office, actually, and say, you know what, we want to be a part of this. How do we get involved? And so Terry then begins to connect them with a third-party agency who we work with. It's a faith-based organization. And through that, then, we're hoping that we can take care of some of these thousands of kids around our state and get them connected that way.
That's powerful. Well, I'm so thrilled the Lord is bringing this about, and Terry has you in this role. Thinking about the church, what would it look like as far as what all different ways to plug in for a church are there on this?
Well, first thing, what we're trying to do is recruit from every church a minimum of two families. One family would be serving as an ongoing foster family to the children, and the second family would serve as a respite family. Both of these families would be certified and trained equally, but one is committing to ongoing, all the time, care to the children. And the respite family is there should the family have a family emergency and they need to leave town, then there's already a family ready to stand in the gap and to care for these children. They don't have to scramble and find a family outside of the community. The respite family also can just serve as a place for the children while the ongoing family, maybe they just need a break, because some of the foster children have some significant behavioral issues, and it's not easy caring for these behaviors day in, day out, day in and day out, without any break. And so we're hoping that as a church community, that they will provide two families from each church. The other thing is that everybody in the church has a role in foster care ministry. There's not a person in the church that cannot help. For instance, say the teenage Sunday school class, they can make a plate of cookies and take them over and help, you know, just bring a smile to the face of the foster family. Or the teenage boys can go and they can do repairs around the house, fix a fence, mow a yard, walk the dog if need be. But anything to minister and be the hands and feet of Jesus with this family. And to help the family understand they're not alone. They're in a group of believers. They're in a church community. And the church community desires to love and to minister to the family, but also to these children in the process.
You know, Brian, I would say to that, Terry, one day we were at a church and she was talking about ways that people could be involved. And one of those, I heard her telling someone, you know, maybe your Sunday school class could, maybe they take up an offering and they give that offering to a foster family that's within the church. And it's a dinner out. It's money to go out to dinner. Or she even made a reference to, or if you know of someone who cuts hair, well, they can give their service of cutting hair to that foster child so that the foster parents don't have to pay for a haircut. I mean, just simple things that people just kind of in everyday normal life, they can be a part of foster ministry without doing the 24/7 kind of stuff as well. So there's a whole, Terry has such great ideas on how really all of us can be involved in foster care to some level. And it's just things that we don't think about sometimes, you know, whether it's, like she said, mowing yards or cutting hair or just simple things that we may not think through as a, oh, this is something I could do. But for people who are gifted and skilled and may have a business in those areas, they could do that as well.
I love that. It seems so doable when you put it in those terms as far as each church raising up a family who's willing to do this, a support family, and then the church family surrounds them. And that's what I love about the One Such Child program coming about right at this time. Just as the need is growing, just as the world is seeing the problem, we're here with the solution and a willingness to help. Let's take a brief time out to hear a word from our featured advertiser.
Looking for a creative yet affordable way to advertise? Advertise right here on the Messenger's Insight podcast. Call today for introductory rates. 405-942-3000, extension 4360.
And we're back. You know, just to inform our listeners, what do foster kids these days look like? Are they different backgrounds and ages? Of those 12,000, is it really a multitude of needs?
There's a variety of needs, and the children come from all different ethnic backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, educational levels. And I can't tell you that there's a cookie mold for a foster child.
Right.
They all come with their own history, their background, their families, and they're carrying the hurts that they've received with them. And some of these children have been neglected, and some of these children have experienced some horrific abuse, not just from the biological family, but sometimes they were removed from the biological family and placed with a foster family or in a group home, and they were moved from place to place to place. And the average number of moves for a foster child within a year is twice a year.
Wow.
And I mean, that's hard for anybody. I can tell you, I've just recently come off the mission field, and I was a missionary for 8 years, and I moved six times in those 8 years, six different apartments, and I hated it every time I had to pack up my stuff. And the last few times, I got to the point I didn't even want to unpack my stuff because I knew just around the corner was going to be another move. And can you imagine a child that doesn't have the coping skills that an adult has, how they handle these moves? They hold people at a distance. They don't unpack their things, or they hoard things because they don't think they're going to get enough in the future. And what we want to do is we want to provide these children a sense of peace, a sense of a future and hope, and reduce the number of times that they have to be moved from place to place to place.
Amen. Terry, how can people get in touch with you about this program? What's the first connection point?
They can either email me at Terry, T-E-R-I, dot Blanton, B-L-A-N-T-O-N, at obhc.org, or they can call me at 405-640-0622, and I will talk with them and find out what their interests are and match them up with an appropriate third-party agency, and we'll get them going.
Thank you for that, and always would encourage the listeners to check out obhc.org for resources as well. Greg, would there be anything you'd want to springboard off or add to thinking about this as a gospel issue and thinking about the things Terry was underscoring?
Yes, I would say, you asked the question, is there a prototype of what does a child in foster care look like? I would add to what Terry said, you know what, there are children of all ages. So you're going to find preschoolers who are involved and need a place, all the way up to teenagers. And so sometimes teenagers come into this and they are in a place of just unbelievable desperation many times because they've got so much going on in their own world of who they are and what's changing in their bodies. But then all of a sudden, their safety and their comforts are all pulled away. And so, when you look at that, what is that prototype? Well, there is not a prototype because, as she said, it is all different socioeconomic levels, but then the ages. I mean, we've got foster needs from little bitties, young children to teenagers. And that's huge. That is a huge need that just continues to evolve.
Now, you being a minister, Greg, and having worked in the local church and being very familiar with the scriptures, what are some of the gospel implications of churches getting serious about this and people getting in the game?
Well, Brian, that's a great question because we chose Mark 9:37 as kind of the impetus verse for this entire ministry. And that's basically saying, when you do this, and this is Jesus saying, when you do this, you've done it unto me. And really, it's for those children who have nothing and are coming to you many times with nothing. It's the practical gospel that you are serving, really serving Jesus by serving that child. I look at it from a minister perspective going, this is an unbelievable evangelistic opportunity to live out our faith in the context of our homes. God is bringing, in many cases, children who don't know him, he's bringing an evangelistic opportunity to a person's front door, not only to their front door, but into their living room and into the bedrooms of their home, that we get to live out our faith. We get to live out a Christ life in front of these children. And you know what? They may leave and never trust Christ while they're in your home. But you know what? We've been able to leave a footprint on that child's life. And who's to say that really we planted a seed for somebody else to be able to see the harvest down the road? And so I see it as an opportunity for families, believing families, to say, I can do this. I can walk my faith life out in front of children, in front of others who ultimately may come to trust Christ as a part of that process. And so for me as a minister, I think what a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel in your own home, and God brings those people to you.
Amen. Powerful picture, powerful word from God's word. Is there a story or an anecdote or an example of something that has encouraged you from your conversations and going around speaking to people in the church? Is there something God has shown you that's giving you encouragement and where we're seeing positive progress on any aspect of this that you could share with our audience?
I think, first of all, that there are already several Southern Baptist families out there who have opened their homes to the children and have begun a foster care ministry within their home. And there are several churches out there who have an ongoing Southern Baptist foster care ministry. And I think the excitement that I see is that more and more churches are calling in asking, what can we do and how can we start this? They're interested in starting an actual foster care ministry, not just saying, we have a family that's interested, but we want to be a church who's interested. And that, to me, is exciting because it means that that our churches are understanding that the families can't do it alone, that we have a responsibility as a church body to stand in the gap for these children.
You know, what excites me also, Ron, our role at OBHC in this foster care initiative is to say, okay, how can we connect those who feel called to do this ministry as parents, foster parents? But I see us as a support system to churches and to those families who are caring for children. In other words, how can we help equip these moms and dads who, if you will, volunteer to be surrogate parents? And maybe they've never done this before. And what if in their world they get a preteen where they've never had a child in their home? Okay, that's scary. Mm-hmm. So who's given them the training to do that? And so I see OBHC being able to come along and provide resources and provide networks just to say, we can help you be that parent, that foster parent to a preteen boy or girl or to a child that may be 4 or 5. If you've not had a child, all of a sudden you have a 5-year-old boy in your house who's tearing up things, is that normal? Who knows? So I see OBHC as being a part of equipping and coming along beside these moms and dads to do that, to help churches go, okay, how do we best resource these families in our church? I want us, OBHC, to be a part of that resourcing of those families. Whether it's to do events that we provide a place for foster families to go do something, because there's not a lot out there, if you will, that's a service. Once the foster family has been formed, in many cases, they're left to just kind of figure it out on their own. And I want us to be able to come along beside these foster families and say, okay, here's a chance for you to go do something that most, quote-unquote, normal families do. We want to provide that and let them do that. And so I see us as part of what we've said. We're here to connect and encourage. And that encouragement goes down a long way. I mean, it's years down the road, and it's a continual process. And so I think for us, it's not just to make that initial contact and get that child placed. That's part of it. But then for us, it's the rest of the story that goes on. How can we be a resource? How can we network and be a source of hope and encouragement to those foster families that way?
Amen.
One of the ways that we're wanting to do that is we're wanting to encourage any Southern Baptist family that is a foster family right now to contact the children's home and get added to our foster family support network database. And as we are aware of trainings that are taking place across the state, we can inform these families of those trainings. We can inform of what resources are out there. Say, for instance, a family is dealing with a specific behavioral issue, and if they'll just send me an email, I can tell them, okay, here is a great resource for that particular issue. But we don't know what the challenges are unless people tell us. And we're hoping to also to pull upon the resources that we have as Southern Baptists across the state. Thankfully, the convention is standing behind us and really encouraging and pushing this program. And we have some great resources right here within the convention, within the different departments of the Baptist General Convention.
Great. Thank you all so much. You know, when I step back to think about what we're talking about here, the growing need, the varied challenges, but that the church is here to serve that, to step in with love, with our availability and time in the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. We've been talking to Greg McNeese, who serves as president-elect for OBHC, and Terry Blanton, their foster care coordinator. Do check out the website, obhc.org/onesuchchild, or call Terry at 405-640-0622. Thank you all for coming on the Baptist Messenger podcast to talk about this. We'll continue to highlight this ministry and what's going on with foster care in the pages of the Baptist Messenger. And I know God's not through with us yet, that there's going to be many exciting developments and that many challenges will be overcome. Greg, thank you. Terry, thank you for spending some time today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.